With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. The Federal Reserve wants to be patient before raising interest rates. Well, you don't have to do that. You can take action now and raise the interest rates on your cash. We've got the Journal's intelligent investor columnist to tell you exactly how to do that in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. The monthly survey of household economic sentiment shows that consumers were unsettled by the government shutdown and uncertainty in the economy. January's reading was the weakest sentiment figure since October 2016. Well, now the shutdown is behind us. Consumers got some upbeat news on February 1st, with the Labor Department's employment report showing stronger than expected jobs growth, and reports indicating growth picked up for U.S. factories in January after months of weaker readings. And that 35-day government shutdown that ended last month resulted in frustration and missed paychecks, but it also triggered a wave of searches on private job websites. Now, there's no evidence that it led to an actual exodus from the federal government's payrolls, but the employment site Indeed.com said the proportion of job opening page views coming from government employees working for unfunded agencies surged at the end of December and continued to climb as the shutdown lasted into January. And the professional networking site LinkedIn said in January it saw a 59% increase in the share of government workers who said they were open to taking new jobs when compared to workers unaffected by the shutdown. And check out the special report in the Wall Street Journal featuring five ways to pay for graduate school, which Sallie Mae says averaged about $25,000 a year during the 2016-17 academic year. The report looks at options such as grants and scholarships. The report makes the point that graduate students generally are considered independent for financial aid purposes, meaning they won't need to include their parents' financial information. There's also fellowships based on academic achievement and work-study programs in which students pursuing master's degrees earned an average of $10,500 in recent years. See the full story at WSJ.com or the WSJ app. Last Wednesday, the Federal Reserve put out word it's going to be patient with respect to raising interest rates. Well, patience might be what's good for the goose, in this case the Fed, but it may not be what's the best option for the gander, the rest of us. Wall Street Journal intelligent investor columnist Jason Zweig says investors, and not just the fat cats on Wall Street, could be more aggressive with allowing their cash to grow. And he's here with some thoughts. Now, Jason, you make a good point in your column that actually hit me right in the face. There's about $8 trillion in cash sitting in savings deposits at banks making 0.09% in interest. That's like stagnant water.
Yeah. Well, of course, that's the average rate, JR. Some people are doing better. Other people may be doing worse. But, you know, if everyone obtained, you know, a fair market rate, people would probably earn, you know, $150 billion or more in extra interest. Now, of course, they couldn't all do it at once. It would flood the market. But most people, I think, are probably overlooking an opportunity to add about 2 full percentage points to their return with very little effort.
And you suggest people check out online savings accounts and they pay a lot more interest.
Yeah. I mean, without more than a few minutes of effort and maybe 3 or 4, 5 clicks of a mouse, you can quite easily earn 2%, 2.25%, perhaps even as much as 2.4%. in an online savings account, and which is a lot better than 0.09.
And a lot of times these accounts don't have a minimum balance to have or a minimum entry amount to put into the account?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, they're in most cases, they're no less convenient than the physical bank you may be familiar with. And they're all FDIC insured, so there's an implicit government backing behind your deposits. So they're safe, they're convenient, and they're much more lucrative.
And it's not like a risk of cash losing value like a stock might.
No, that's correct. Certainly, if we leave inflation aside from the calculation, that's absolutely right.
You know, you bring up there's a psychology game here. If we flip open our history books for a moment, it turns out that near the top of the list of things investors have to fear is fear itself. And that could be blocking them from finding these better opportunities for their cash.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I often like to say that one of the most powerful forces in financial physics, just like real physics, is inertia. And, you know, most investors will not act until they feel they're acted upon. And I myself kept my money in my physical bank for many years, too long, until, I don't know, it was about 2 years ago, I finally moved it out to a much higher yielding alternative. And I had probably sacrificed hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars of income for no reason other than the fact that money sticks where it lands.
And there's a lot of options for investors to better put their cash to work, but it can be a blizzard of numbers and percentages and phone numbers and addresses and such. But there's an interesting online tool you mentioned in your column called Max My Interest that can help.
Yeah, this is a nice service. It's been around for almost 5 years now, which essentially functions like an online switchboard. It automatically reroutes your money from one online savings bank to another to maximize both the interest income you are earning and full FDIC coverage. So if you're fortunate enough to have more than $250,000 in cash, as perhaps some of our listeners do, you won't get full FDIC coverage if you keep all that money in one bank. But if you spread it across more than one, you will. And this service will do that automatically for you.
And there's a link to Max My Interest in your columns. People can go and check it out and see what it's all about.
Sure.
You know, you reference a study in your column where about 850,000 people were asked about retirement investing, and about three-quarters of them said they never changed up their investment plan. That's a recipe for missed gains.
Well, it could be. It's important to bear in mind that what this study looked at was whether people had ever made a change in how they were allocating their contributions within a major retirement system. So it's entirely possible that most of those people had most of their money in stock at the beginning and kept it there. But what it really shows is the power of inertia, and that once people make a decision, it's much harder to get them to change it. And that can work for you if you make a good decision in the first place, and it can work against you, as it currently is many people who are just leaving money in the bank where it's effectively dead money because they haven't gone to the effort of moving it to a better place.
Well, the banks love it. The banks are taking your money and investing it and cashing in interest and such. And if you want to leave your money there and have it make 0.09%, the bank is, hey, it's fine with us.
Absolutely. And not just banks, but also major brokerage firms, which pay a little more than banks, but not much, and generally nowhere near the 2% plus you could get with a little initiative of your own.
All right. Well, check out Jason Zweig's column on WSJ.com and the WSJ app. And he's good enough to join us here in our studio. Jason, thanks for being here.
My pleasure, JR. Thanks.
That's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.